would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We are moving from the theological and doctrinal side of the book of Colossians to the practical side. A lot of people really like the practical side. Matter of fact, many people tell the preacher, they say, don't just tell me what I need to do, preacher. Right? Just tell me what I need to do. And you know, we sometimes, it's one of part of the Colossian heresy there is just what all these people need to do and experience. And we have to be real careful, because flowing out of a proper understanding of who God is and what He's done for us will be a life of obedience. And so living comes out of doctrinal purity. Living and obeying and following comes out of a proper knowledge and understanding of God. But it's very, very, very important. In the book of James we've been studying on Wednesday night, we'll tell you that faith is seen by our actions. So actions are very important. We're not saved because of our actions, but because of true faith that's taken root in our heart. Remember, you've been firmly established and rooted and grounded and built up. Because of these things, now Paul says since, or if. It actually starts with the word if there. But the Greek word is since you've been raised with Christ, since you've been made alive, since you've been forgiven, since God has disarmed Satan, these things now you should live in a certain way. So this is very important this morning, of how we understand the Scriptures now will lead us in how we live. So if you would stand with me, and we're going to read just four verses. Just four verses. I would call this living the Christian life, or living the risen life. I love, by the way, I don't want to embarrass our children down here, but I love seeing these kids, and Carter, sorry, I know y'all are teenagers, you and Breck, but I love seeing these teenagers and kids, Hayden back there, and these are our neighbors just on the other side of the playground right here, so I get to see these kiddos a good bit, and I love seeing them here. Thank y'all for being here. Little Elizabeth told me this morning, she was just a-singing. And I said, you like to sing? She said, yeah, she likes to sing. I tell you, it'll bless your heart when you see kids sing to the Lord Jesus Christ. It blesses my heart when I see y'all sing to Jesus, but it blesses my heart when I see the kids sing. I'm so embarrassing her. Sorry, Elizabeth. All right, let's read together here. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, or since then you've been raised, since you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Father, would you open our eyes to see you clearly this morning, to see our position in Jesus, Lord, to help us to understand that we've been raised, our life has been hidden, and one day when Jesus appears, Lord, we're going to appear with Him in glory also, God. Teach us this morning, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at the Scriptures a lot from the book of Colossians, and a lot of these titles just jump out with one word. We could have looked at things like buried and raised. And last week we talked about beware. And this week I think that the one word that might would sum up the message that we can talk about a little bit is hidden. Hidden. That's interesting. Is it? Think about what that means, that our life is hidden with Christ in God. A believer's life is hidden with Christ in God. And as we get down to that section of that verse, we're going to talk a little bit more about what that looks like. But I see kids, I can't help but to think about the game of hide and go seek. You know, we all like to hide and go seek. There's a game in youth ministry that youth pastors have to be very careful with. It's a game called sardines. Y'all know, anybody ever played the game called sardines? That you send one person to hide, and then everybody has to find that person and hide with them. That's a lot of fun, because let's be real. I mean, nobody likes to just go out there and find this wonderful hiding spot and just sit there forever by themselves, right? Man, they're never going to find me. I'm going to win the game. No, we want to hide with our friends, right?
And what we got to be careful of, Brother Kenny, is those little girls and boys that like each other, they like to hide with their boys and girlfriends. So, you know, that's kind of scary. But so when you send one person out to hide with sardines, the other people kind of find them. And the last person to find the group of people hiding is the one that has to count the next part of the game. Well, this reality here of being hidden in Christ is the fact that we're tied up with Him in the heavenlies. Matter of fact, if you want to flip back to the book of Ephesians 2, just a few pages back, Ephesians 2, verses 5, it says, "When we were dead in our trespasses," it says that God made us alive together with Christ. And it says, by grace," it says, "by grace you have been saved," there's your name, "by grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Did y'all see that? That's a past tense, aorist tense, that's past tense action there. That when you, upon your conversion, when you're buried with Christ, when you're raised with Christ, now you, in the sense that you've been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Now guys, in a minute when we talk about our life being hidden with Christ, I'm going to once again point you to eternal security. I'm going to talk about perseverance once again. Because if your life has been identified with Christ in the burial of this symbolic picture of baptism, he goes back to Colossians 2:12 we talked about. If we've been buried with Christ, if we've been raised with Christ, now the Bible scripture talks about now we've been seated with Him in the heavenlies. If you go on to read there, it says we've been seated, He's raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, verse 7 now of Ephesians 2, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace, there it is again, sorry, of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, I was listening to one preacher about this, and he says, I read a book about, that somebody that went to heaven for 60 seconds and everybody wants to buy the book. In reality, we're with Christ, right? You know, we're still there. The Bible says we've been made complete. We've been seated. We're in the heavenly places with Christ. We've been hidden with Him. We've been tied up with Him. Our identity is wrapped up with Him so much that we are in His presence. We are with Him in the heavenlies, and we're to live like we're in the heavenlies. Amen? So there should be something different in the way we live, the way we act, the way we obey. There is this new identity in this training we had last week. Brother Vaughn had the why section of why we share the good news. And it talks about we are ambassadors of Christ and we are new creatures. And because of we are new creations in Christ, now we are His spokesperson. We are His heavenly messengers. We are sharing the good news. There's this identity that now we are not only a disciple and follower of Jesus, we're to be making disciples of Jesus. So though we're all sitting on the pews, these pews don't represent the sidelines. These pews represent the game. We're in the game. We have a new purpose. We have an identity. So we've been raised. We've been seated in the heavenlies. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are positionally to live out our position, our identity. We're not seeking some experience and another experience and living from experience to experience. That's what this Colossian heresy was telling them, that this mystical union, this experience, this Gnostic, this secret knowledge, these supernatural experiences, this identity with angels, and what Paul's telling these people is, you don't need all of these things what these false teachers don't know is you are complete in Jesus. The reality is living this hope of glory is inside of you. You are seated in the heavenly realms. You are positionally right and pure and doctrinally astute in Jesus because you have been reconciled with Him. You've been made new. You've been cleansed. You've been buried. You've been raised. You've been firmly established and rooted, seated. And now you're to live out who you really are. Look at what it says there. And he's he's reminding them of these things. And some of the things that we're going to, one sermon I heard on this was really good. And it says that there's four words, and there was four. They all started with a R. It was the reminder. If you've been raised with Christ, all right, there's a reminder. Since you've been raised with Christ, this is who you are. Then there was a responsibility. It's going to talk about keep seeking the things that are above. That since you've been raised with Christ, set your affections, set your mind, keep seeking those things that are in heaven. Now that's not not focusing on, man, I can't wait to walk down those streets of gold and see that glassy sea. And those are things that we look forward to. But that's not exactly what it's talking about here. It's the realities of what Jesus has done and who he says you are and how you're to serve him and faithfully to be his ambassador and share the good news and keep focused on the things that we should continue to keep focused on, the things that are going to help us when we struggle and the temptations hit. The reminder that we've been raised with Christ, the responsibility to keep seeking the things above, the resource. It says that where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Do y'all know what we're reminding ourselves of when it says keep seeking those things above, where Christ is seated? Remember who's seated with Christ? We're identifying with him. Do you know where the position of the right hand of God was, where all authority and power, this position that Jesus has? Do you know what we remind ourselves, when we remind ourselves of that? When we think about the fact that Jesus is our resource and that in him all of God's fullness dwelled, and now he's there and we are complete in him, and we're all of these blessings and these fountains of rivers of living water are possessed in Jesus, and now he is our Lord and Savior and Master, and we are filled and complete in him. That's important. That's something to wrap your minds around and hold on to. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Spurgeon says the "if" is used logically, not theologically, by way of argument. He said, basically he's talking about that word since. Since you've been raised. It's not by way of doubt. He says, all who believe in Christ are risen with Christ. Let us meditate on this truth, Spurgeon says. Oh, how often we need to be called to this. For the flesh is groveling and it holds down the spirit. And very often we are seeking the things below as if we had not yet attained to the new life and did not know anything about the resurrection power of Christ within the soul. Now, if it be that you believers have risen with Christ, do not live as if you have never done so, but seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on and at the right hand of God. Man, look at the text again. Let's go back to it. Colossians 3. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Are you seeking the things that are above? I see my little Will and Bethany sitting over here, and Savannah, I guess, just went to the restroom, and we've been doing a really pretty good job of reading our Bible. I won't tell you which one. We read our Bible every morning, and sometimes they're running a little late, or sometimes they lose sight of what we're trying to do, and one of them asked the question, Daddy, how often are we going to continue to get up and read our Bible in the morning? I won't tell you which one, but I told her, I said, until you graduate. And I hope that it's going to become, it is a fine line, right? People, because we've just talked about legalism and you know, as a father, my prayer is every day is that they would fall in love with Jesus and that they would desire to go to that treasure box every morning, that those find those diamonds and pearls and the will of God and shown by the Word of God and how to live for God and honor Him. And my prayer is that it would become something we desire to do. But in reality, Bethany and Will, y'all look at me. Y'all just a color. Y'all know y'all taking notes over here. Y'all just working over there. I know y'all taking notes. But but what my prayer is for you guys and for you kids right here is that you will come to know God and love God, and that your whole life would be. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about to these Colossians, is that because you've been buried and raised and this newness and this identity of purpose and value now you have in Christ is now. Set your affections on Jesus. Set your mind and your heart and your will on Christ and go to Him and live in those heavenly realms, will? Live in Him. Fulfill those, seek to honor Him and live your life for Him. Sometimes it seems like we're working with just trying to get through those chapters of John, fix to start the book of Acts. But I pray that it'll be something you long for and look toward. And the one that told me that asked that question, I'm fixed to give it away and limit it to two people now. She said she was a little bit sorry that she did lose focus. We often do, right? That's why Paul's trying to write to these Colossians. We do. We take our mind off of the things that of heaven and we put them on fame and success and grades. Y'all probably ought to keep your report cards just came out. You probably need to give grades some attention, all right? But I pray that you're giving Christ some attention and affection. All right? We sometimes get caught up on hobbies and activities, and C.S. Lewis talks about, you know, this beautiful beach and this glorious vacation with sandy white sandy beach and beautiful blue waters, and yet we want to go and sit and make mud hole and play with make mud pies in a mud hole when God's given us this beautiful picture of life with Him. Sometimes we think the reality is that we're trying to survive, and we're caught up in our own way and doing our own will, and we lose sight of this complete in Christ and this reality of joy and identity of purpose and all of this fountain of living water that's seated at the right hand of God, and we are beside Him and we're working with Him and living an identity with Him and this fountain of blessing. Anybody lose sight of that like me? Paul says right here to this Colossian congregation, he says, since then you've been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then he reemphasizes it again. He says, set your minds on things above, again, not on things of the earth. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Do y'all know that for 1,300 years, Ptolemy said that the world, and said the solar system, everything revolved around the earth. Did y'all know that? Y'all remember that? And a guy named Copernicus came along and said that we've got it all wrong, that the solar system and the earth and the planets, everything revolves around the sun. Copernicus got it right, guys. So many of us are living in a Ptolemaic system where everything still revolves around our world. Selfish, our will, our purposes, our fame, our success, our hobbies, our identity, our family, my time, my ability, my talents. What we need to move is to this world where Copernicus said was reality, and it's proven by science now, is that everything in the solar system, everything revolves around the sun. Everything needs to revolve around the sun, because it does. Jesus is where all fullness is found. Jesus is where all blessings flow. We sing songs about this. I love the song we sang this morning. Let's see if I can find it here. Doggone it, this is last week's. I didn't tell Ken I wanted it, so I can't give it to you. But that yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me through me. If you have died to self, friend, if you have pictured yourself, Paul's reminding him, he's taking him back to this Colossians 2:12. Look at Colossians 2:12. He says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. What Paul's doing is reminding them of your conversion. He's reminding them that they have died and that they have raised, and that there should be a newness about who they are. Yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. But through Christ who lives in me. Do you see it? Who's on the throne of your life? These religious Colossian heretics still kept trying to point these people back to a mystical experience or a secret knowledge or a certain work of ritual and that appealed to the flesh. And Paul kept telling these people, and there's something else I'm fixing to talk to you about being hidden in Christ, is your relationship with Jesus is somewhat concealed to the world. They don't understand it. But it says, but when he comes in glory, you're going to appear with him also. They're one day going to understand it, but in part of that concealment, this reality that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, is somewhat concealed to a lost world whose eyes are blinded. But let me remind you that this hidden with Christ, you've been buried, you've been raised, you've been seated in the heavenlies. So who's on the throne of your life? Is it still you? You're still striving, you're still laboring, you're still working. I talked to Miss Martha last week. I told her again today, I said, I brought you into my sermon last week, and she's got a DVD of her testimony, and I told you, I keep going back to so many of y'all's testimony I heard last week that was a lot like mine, that we were very religious people. We did a lot of religious things. Some of y'all were in church 9 months before you were born. You walked an aisle, you thought you made a decision to get saved, and you were still trying to live up to some expectation when God really radically saved you later on in life. You understood grace for the first time. You understood that your pious activities was never going to get you where you needed to be. It was never going to make you right with God because you still, you know, those things didn't satisfy your flesh. You kept going back to the same things. You kept doing the same things. There was no strength. There was no power. There was no victory. Just some little notes I made in my message as I studied, as Christians, we're to live in His presence. We're to live in His power. We're to live for His purpose. We're to live in His protection. And those were just four P's to help you remember: presence, power, purpose, and protection. And being in Christ, which Colossians talks about over and over and over, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. These are some of the things we experience. We should understand and know God's presence, the reality of Christ in us. We should understand this resurrection power because now we've been made new. We've been forgiven. Our position is because of we've been died to ourselves and we've been raised with Christ. When He rose from the grave, is in a sense, we came out with Him. Because He forgave us all our trespasses. He canceled the record of death that stood against us at the last verse of Colossians 2. And so what He did was in Colossians chapter 2 in this last few verses, well actually the verse 15 and 16 and verses 14 and 15 and 16, what He also did was He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. He declared victory over Satan, over the powers of this world. And He declared you victorious if you've died to yourself and if you've raised upon your second birth in your conversion, you have come to know Christ. The world needs heavenly people, guys. What Paul is saying here is please, before you're ever going to make an impact on the world, before you're going to ever affect the world, you've got to be above the world. And Jesus said, my people are not of this world. He says, come out from among them and be separate. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And before you're ever, people say, I want to change the world. I want to have an impact. I want to influence. I want to make a difference. Guys, before we're going to be able to do that, we've got to recognize our position in Jesus, and we've got to live in the heavenlies. We've got to experience and continue to realize what it means to be made complete and filled and grounded and established and strengthened. We've got to continue to be sanctified. That's a big churchy word, I know, but that's as we become more like Christ. Sometimes some of you have had a little glimpse of this, and you've you've walked with Jesus in the morning and you've had this mountaintop experience and you know what it means to walk and commune with Him. But then we get back and we turn and we start focusing on the things of this world and we wonder why we're not making a difference. We wonder why we're not influencing. We wonder why we still continue to struggle. The world needs heavenly people. Christians are indeed a kind of resident alien. Their real identity and origin are not earthly, but heavenly. As physical organisms, we were born in the world, but having died with Christ, remember Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We no longer belong to this world. A second spiritual birth means that our true citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20, Paul talks about this. Our true citizenship is in heaven. And something of a quality of that place ought to cling to us as we live out our days in this present world. The world needs heavenly people as never before, and this is what Christians are when they live up to their true identity. Are you living up to your true identity? Are you living up to your true identity? The message of this passage to Christians, whether in the first or 21st century then, is this. Be what you are. Everybody say that with me. Some of y'all nod and dozing on me a little bit. Somebody say, be what you are. One more time. Be what you are. All right. That's biblical, by the way. That's not some kind of y'all. Sometimes we think if we start saying stuff together, that's cultish. That's biblical. Be what you are. Positionally in Christ, you are a new creation. Let's be a new creation. Let's by the power of the transformed life, the Spirit of God, the hope of glory living in us and through us, let's be who we really are. Because that's what the lost and dying world around us needs to see, is that we're being true to who we really are. Man, he says he's a follower of Jesus. You know what he must be, because he's pretty radical. He actually bowed his head and said his blessing at the school the other day. Man, that's pretty radical, isn't it, to say a prayer over the food? Believe it or not, it is in our day, by our day's standard. Man, he was actually talking to somebody about how they can have eternal life. That's pretty radical, isn't it? It is radical when somebody shares the gospel. No longer has that become the norm. That's radical. You can label the Jesus freak because you're sharing Christ with somebody. May we be radical then. Because by the scripture it says that we're disciples. It's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The world needs to see people being who they are positionally. In calling upon Christians to be what they are, Paul set forth the Colossians the challenge to live as heavenly people and in doing so, to bring something of the quality of heaven to earth to eradicate and suffuse all their relationships and life situations. Matthew 5:16, you are the light of the world. Philippians 2:14, you are the light, citizens of heaven. There was something I want to read to you. Until a Christian in his heart and his soul and in his mind has learned to live his spiritual life in the heavenlies, he will never be able to touch the earth with the truth of God. It won't happen. I came across Robert Murray McShane thinking about him and looking at him. I heard it was evaluated by some of the people who knew him. And this one man made a comment about him. He said this of Robert Murray McShane. He said, "The man of whom I speak seems to have got up to the full height and to have entered into the secret places of the holiness of God." Let me read that again to you. Says it seems to have got up to the, this man, it seems to have got up to the full heights and to have entered into the secret places of the holiness of God. This man knew Robert Murray McShane, the great preacher, and he said that he seemed to dwell in the holy places of God, the holiness of God. He would go on to say, it says, when he preached the gospel, you could see strong men, hard and stern, melt like wax before the fire. Their breasts would swell and heave as if they would burst, and the whole place became a place of weepers. Now there is a man who touched the world. There is a man who reached the world. And the comment of a man who observed was, the reason he reached the world was because he lived in the presence of God. Are you living in the presence of God? Are you being who you are? Are you who you are because of a new birth, a transformation? Are you feeding that transformation as you walk and commune with the Holy of Holies, as you the veil of the temple has been torn, and we now walk into this holy place to where God fills us and moves us and equips us. And as we walk out of the Holy of Holies, like Moses, our faces should glow with the radiance of Christ. Then and only then are we going to bring about transformation and change and help a lost world come to know something real and genuine. Do you spend time in the Holy of Holies communing with Christ? Robert Murray McShane did. Let us be what we say we are and who we are according to the Scriptures. Let us seek the things above. Let us set our minds on heaven, and let us share in Christ's glory. And as we radiate with that glory and come out, may people see. Let us live in His presence. Let us live in His power. Let us live according to His purpose. Let us live in His protection, eternally secure, hidden our life, hidden with Christ in God, in the heavenly places. That's what Romans 8 is talking about. Our life is secure in Christ. Live in that heavenly place. You are there, secure, hidden with Christ. And that last word was simply, and I guess we'll go to this. I don't know. Let me see how we're doing. That last word was revelation. And you see that in verse 4, Colossians 3, 4, that sermon, that great preacher preached. And those four words, remember I told you the reminder, since you've been raised with Christ, the responsibility, keep seeking the things above. Remember Jesus, the resource at the right hand of God, where all the fountains of blessings are filled and complete in Jesus, and we're given those through Him. And then the last one was simply revelation. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You know, as I told you, that part of that hidden, our lives being hidden with Christ in God, part of that was this concealment that the world don't actually understand it completely, because their eyes are blinded, right? Their eyes are blinded. And looking at that, our life is, and what it means to be our lives hidden with God in Christ is our life is tied up with Jesus Christ. Secondly, I told you the world does not know us. Our life is somewhat concealed to them. And that third part was that eternal security. Our life is hidden with Christ and God. What does that mean? If Jesus has all power and authority, He's seated at the right hand of God. And I could show you, I've got several references I could show you that Hebrews 1, He's the radiance of the living God, and He's seated at the right hand of God. 1 Peter 3:22 talks about He's at the right hand of God. Ephesians 1:20 says He's at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 8:1, all of these. Acts, you could go through Acts 2, Acts 5, Acts 7. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Actually, next week, Kenny's going, in our catechisms, he's going to talk about Jesus' role as the high priest. Hebrews would talk about in Jesus being at the right hand of the Father. He's serving as a high priest. He's not only the sacrifice, but He's also the one that has offered Himself as the sacrifice. He's our great high priest. And as Jesus has all authority and power at the right hand of God, what does that mean for us if we are in Christ? It means we are eternally secure. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of My hand. Colossians probably needed to be reminded of that. In this world where there's so much confusion, you need to be reminded that you're secure in Christ. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. You don't have to keep doing a bunch of works to try to earn God's righteousness. Jesus has given you and granted you His righteousness. Jesus did the work that was sufficient once and for all. And He sat down at the right hand of the Father, where all of ruling authority He has. And we're in Him. We're hidden. Our life is wrapped up in Him. That means that we're identified as He is. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Not even hell itself. Not Satan and all of his power that he has just for a short, limited amount of time. We're more than conquerors through Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Now, because of that, there's a revelation that's coming. And in this revelation, it says there in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. If your life's hidden with Him, you're going to experience the reality of the sonship, the adopted family position, heirs to the throne, co-heirs with Christ. We could go to Ephesians 1 and look at all of these spiritual realities of who we are, our identity, these spiritual blessings that are heaped on us because we're seated in the heavenlies with God. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 2, I love what it goes on to say. It says, for by grace you've been saved. That means we've been seated in the heavenlies and in Christ. We've been so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ. It goes on to say that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him. We are God's workmanship. Think about what that means. We are His work of art. We've been recreated. When we died, the second birth that we have in Jesus is this new birth, this new creation. We are complete in Christ. A couple of things that I said here as we move toward the conclusion. You've been raised up. You've ascended. You live in the heavenlies. You have overcome self in the heavenlies. You've overcome. You're seated in the heavenlies. Salvation moves you to a new position. Your mind has moved from earth to heaven. Dwell in the heavenlies so you can change the lost world. You've died and risen with Christ. You're living a resurrection, an eternal life. Live who you are. We've talked about it. You are complete. He is all you need. Let your preoccupation with heaven govern your life. Remember, Matthew 11, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Set your affections on things above. Preoccupy your mind with the Scriptures. That's how you preoccupy your mind with heaven. Not dreams, not reality, not visions, not reading a book that somebody had 60 seconds in heaven. You want to preoccupy your mind with heaven? Entrance yourself with God's Word. It's right there. Everything we seek is there in Christ. All the fullness, this river of living water, this full and precious fountain, streams of mercies. We are dead and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Our life is wrapped up in Him. In this revelation, when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will appear with Him also. We will appear with Him also. Let us seek the things that are above. Let us set our mind on the things that are above. Let us be who we are. And the world needs, like never before, heavenly people. The world needs heavenly people. All right. So we're ready, right? Let's live who we are. Let's simply, y'all say, preacher, what do we need to do? There it is. Seek the Lord. Set your minds on things above. Your life is hidden with God, with Christ in God. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You that Jesus is Lord and Master and Savior. His sacrifice was sufficient. It was enough. Lord, our great high priest is at Your right hand where all authority He has, and He's going to come back for us one day. And He's coming back for those who have been buried and have been raised, and those who are alive. God, the reality is that many people are still dead. They're still lost. God, I pray that You would open their eyes to see their need for a Savior, and that You would give them fullness of blessing and riches complete in Jesus. Lord, that they would hide themselves in Christ with God. Lord, I thank you for that position. I thank you for the privilege to live in union with Jesus, with a new life, a new identity, a new purpose in your presence, according to your Spirit, living out your purpose. God, protected by our great high priest and Savior and Lord. Thank you so much for Jesus. I pray that He, the Son, would be at the center of our world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, Brother?